And we are in Psalm 21. Psalm 21. And our text this evening is verses 8 to 12. But let me read to you the whole Psalm. Psalm 21. To the choir master, a Psalm of David. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. In your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you, you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Now we said that Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 go together. Psalm 20 being a prayer before the battle, and Psalm 21 is giving of praise after the victory in the battle. And we learned that answered prayer should always be acknowledged by fervent praise to God. Let's never forget that. God answers our prayers. We must spend time in thanksgiving and praise. God alone deserves praise. When our prayers are answered, God alone deserves glory. He is the one who fights our battles. And he is the one who gives us the victory. So he alone deserves glory. And this psalm is a hymn of praise. A hymn of praise. That's what the psalm is. And it opens and closes with praise for God's strength granted to his anointed king and the army of Israel. Verse 1 in Psalm 21. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. And the last verse, Psalm 21, verse 13. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. So David knew that the strength for the battle came from the Lord. And David rejoiced in the strength that God gave him. And as we wait upon the Lord, God gives us strength. Strength to rise up above every difficult circumstance in life to experience victory. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 and 31. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So we too can rejoice in the strength that God gives us, and we can overcome all those difficult circumstances that we're going through by the power and the strength that God gives us. Number one, David rejoiced in the strength that God gave him. Psalm 21, verse 1. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. Number two, David rejoiced in God's salvation. And the word salvation there means deliverance and victory. And in your salvation, how greatly he exults. In your salvation, how greatly he exults. Verse 1. Psalm 21, verse 5. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. Number 3. David rejoiced in God's satisfaction. Psalm 21, verse 2. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. Psalm 21, verse 3. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. And in verse 4, Psalm 21 verse 4, He asked life of you, you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Again in verse 6, Psalm 21 verse 6. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. So David rejoiced in God's satisfaction. He rejoiced in the strength that God gave him. He rejoiced in the salvation, in the deliverance that God gave, the victory that God gave. And he rejoiced in God's satisfaction. He rejoiced in God's satisfaction. Then we find David rejoicing in God-given stability. Psalm 21 verse 7. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. So we looked at the outline of the psalm last Wednesday. In Psalm 21 verses 1 to 7, looks back and celebrates past victories. And then in verses 8 to 12, Psalm 21 looks ahead in anticipation of victories. And verse 13, Psalm 21 verse 13, looks up, exalting the Lord, the giver of victories. Now in verses 8 to 12 of Psalm 21, you find these verses prophetically speak about victory. And only the Messiah could accomplish those victories that are prophesied in verses 8 to 12. Only the Messiah could completely win those victories. So the Jewish Targum, I mentioned this last time, the Jewish Targum, which is the originally spoken Aramaic translation of the Hebrew Bible, it states that this psalm is about King Messiah. And David, of course, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now let's begin looking at verses 8 to 13. Psalm 21 verses 8 to 12 first, and then verse 13. Psalm 21 verses 8 to 12. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. As the people spoke these words, they knew that King David trusted in the Lord. So they affirmed their faith as they addressed these words to the king. The emphasis now in these verses are the future victories that God would give David and Israel, because they have faith. They have faith in the living God. Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Remember that all these verses can be used in spiritual warfare. The real enemy is not the person who troubles you. The real enemy is the evil spirit, the demonic spirits behind that person. So as a child of God, you are called to fight the real enemy. And we can bind the strong man. These demonic spirits that are at work in the lives of people can be bound, because we stand on victory ground, and we can bind these forces of darkness who trouble us. And this is how the Lord Jesus bound the enemy. Matthew chapter 12 verses 28 to 29. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. You see, when we bind these evil spirits, in the name of Jesus, the person is released from the grip of the real enemy, from the power of the real enemy. The person who troubles you is then convicted of sin, and he is given the grace to repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is delivered, and he will even become your friend. Your enemy can become your friend, because the real enemy is bound and the person repents and trusts in Christ. So this is what we must do when we pray for those who trouble us. Bind those forces of darkness behind that person in faith in the name of Jesus, and ask God to pour out his mercy and grace upon that person to repent and come to faith in Christ. Psalm 21 verse 8 says, your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You see, God's right hand is more than just a symbol of power. God's right hand act, actively works on behalf of his people who put their trust in him and defeats their enemies. So this is why we must recognize, we must remember that God is on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Psalm 89 verse 13. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, high your right hand. Speaking of God. Psalm 89 verse 13. Psalm 118 verses 15 to 16. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Again in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Psalm 21 verse 8. I read now from the ESV version. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. The King James Version reads in Psalm 21 verse 8. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Now these words, find out, actually mean dispose of. Dispose of. That's what it actually means. Just as fire devours what it touches, so what will the Lord do? The Lord will devour David's enemies. You see, it's just like the LPG cooking gas when it's burnt on the stove. Just like fuel is burnt. That's how God will deal with our enemies, with the real enemy, when we actually exercise our faith in him to do so. Now, David knew this. And Asaph also, he speaks of this burning anger of the Lord in Psalm 79 verse 5. How long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Psalm 89 verse 46. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? In the book of Malachi chapter 4 verses 1 to 3 we read, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. So just like fuel is burnt, that's how God's anger is. Just as fire devours what it touches, so the Lord will devour the real enemy. The nation of Israel and David's posterity, generations to come, would be preserved. But there would be no future for the enemy. Psalm 21 verse 10 says, you will destroy their descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. In Psalm 18 verse 50, the New King James Version reads, great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. So this again is a covenant promise given by God to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 16. Remember that chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 7. We go back to that chapter over and over again, because that is God's covenant promise to David. And finally fulfilling itself in the Messiah, the promise of the Messiah. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. All of these promises are ultimately fulfilled in the Messiah and in his kingdom. And every born again Christian, every child of God bought by the blood of Jesus Christ is part of this eternal kingdom. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 9 and 10, 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 9 and 10 we read, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Remember in the book of Genesis chapter 12, then God calls Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 to 3, God tells Abraham, Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, we read, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So in the call of Abraham, God prophetically spoke about us Gentiles who are going to be saved and become part of his kingdom. In you shall all the nations be blessed. That was what God was going to do through Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 verses 13 to 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So these blessings of victory are ours today because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his children, kings and priests in his kingdom. And through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to fight the real enemy in the name of Jesus and by his blood shed for us on the cross. In the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. So we don't fear death, for we will be absent from the body and present with Christ. We live in reverential fear of the one who saved us and brought us into his marvelous light. And we are empowered by his Spirit to fight the battle against the enemy. And we stand on victory ground, and God gives us victory, and we can exercise faith, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive the victory. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. We have been raised up with Christ. We are seated with him in the heavenly places. We stand on victory ground. We fight from victory. Remember, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 5 to 6. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus came into this world to destroy the works of darkness. And we as his children, we exercise faith in the finished work of the cross, and we experience this victory. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Galatians 3 verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? You see, we can exercise our faith in what Christ has done for us, and we can fight this battle against the enemy and receive victory, experience victory. God gave David many victories, and David greatly extended the borders of Israel and brought peace to the kingdom of Israel. The nations would get together and they would plot against David. But David always won. David would still win the battle despite the fact that the enemy plotted against him. So it is so also with us, God's church. If the church would submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, there is no power on earth that can stop the growth and the effectiveness of the church. And that's why Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So if we recognize, if we as his children recognize the position to which God has raised us up, and if we exercise our faith in him, then we can lay hold of the victory. One day the Lord Jesus will establish his kingdom on earth and we will reign with him. Revelation 20 verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Brothers and sisters, it is not just the millennium, not just during the millennium that we will reign. We can reign with Christ now, wherever God has placed us, and we can experience his kingdom, wherever he has placed us. Of course, we will also be members of the new heaven and the new earth. We will be part of the millennial kingdom. We will be part of the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21 verses 1 to 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 to 7, we read, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So Psalm 21 verses 1 to 7 looks back and celebrates past victories. Psalm 21 verses 8 to 12 looks ahead in anticipation of victories. And this is true for us too. We can remember the past victories that we have won because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus has done for us and how he has fought those battles for us. And we can look ahead, and we can look ahead in anticipation, and we can experience victory. And Psalm 21 verse 13 looks up, exalting the Lord, the giver of victories. Now remember, there is one danger when you begin to experience victory, that victory can get to your head and you think that you have won the battle because of your great faith. Brothers and sisters, it's not our great faith that gives us the victory. It is the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already won the battle for us, and we are standing on victory ground. Let us never forget that. So we humble ourselves and we exalt the Lord, the giver of victories. We look up and we praise and thank God. Psalm 21 verse 13. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Never forget to do this. You see, when God answers prayer, you know, we've been praying. We pray for many things. But whenever God answers prayer, all praise and all honor and all glory goes to him and him alone. We must never ever take an iota of that glory, because all glory belongs to God and God alone. So even when our prayers are answered, we humble ourselves and we praise and worship the Lord who has answered and fought the battle and given us victory. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. David fought battles, won victories, not to exalt himself, but to magnify the Lord. David fought battles and won victories, not to exalt himself, but to magnify the Lord. And the people of David's kingdom, they knew this. In his youth, when David killed Goliath the giant, David showed the same spirit. David tells King Saul, who questions him, in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verses 33 to 36. 1 Samuel 17, 33 to 36. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Goliath mocked and cursed David. But look at David's reply. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verses 42 to 47. 1 Samuel 17, 42 to 47. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I'll give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." Remember, when David spoke these words, before all of this happened, Saul and the entire army of Israel, King Saul and the entire army of Israel was so afraid of this Philistine. But look at what God's servant says. David, what does he say? "And that all this assembly," in other words, he's most likely turning around and looking at the assembly of God's people, and he's saying, "This and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. The Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." In other words, David was saying, God doesn't need spears and shields and swords, not even these pebbles that I hold in my hand. God is able to strike you down, and he will do it right in front of our eyes. And this entire assembly and this entire gathering, this army will know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. Psalm 20 closes with the people and the king asking God to hear their prayers. When you look at Psalm 21, Psalm 21 closes with the prayer that God would be lifted up, that God would be lifted up on high and exalted. Psalm 21 verse 13, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power." And that's what we must do when we experience victory. God says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30, "For those who honor me, I will honor." Let us honor the Lord and lay hold of the victory that he gives us. May God's kingdom be manifested. Let God's kingdom be manifested through us, his children, wherever God places us. And let us give God alone all the glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer.